to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier, and coming up in this hour, comedy. Later on, we hear the Bob Hope Show, but right now it's the Jack Benny Program. The CBS broadcast from November 13th, 1949, featuring special guests Ronald and Benita Coleman.
The Jack Benny Program. Program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, on last week's program, everybody made so many mistakes in reading their lines that Jack felt it was necessary to call a special meeting. At the moment, we find the cast assembled in Jack's living room.
Now, look, kid, I want you to take what I'm going to say in the spirit in which it's given. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. But I did feel it was necessary to call this meeting.
All right, Jack. What's the meeting about?
Yeah, let's get it over with, huh?
Well, Phil, as I said before, I'm not angry. But on last week's program, I never heard so... Dennis, you're not paying attention. Get away from that fishbowl.
The last time I looked in this bowl, there were only two goldfishes.
I know. Now, kid...
How come there are three of them now?
Because the first two fell in love and got married, that's why. Now, kid...
Well, if they just got married, why'd they take in a boarder?
Look, if they didn't take in a boarder, the little one is a baby.
Oh, yeah, the one on the right is the mother.
No, Dennis, the one on the right is the father.
You could have fooled me.
Dennis, will you do me a favor?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jack. You called us over here for a meeting, so let's get on with it.
Yes, Jack. Tell us what's on your mind.
I'm trying to. I called this meeting to find out why there were so many mistakes made on last week's broadcast.
All right, so we made a few mistakes. Is that a reason for you to get mad?
I told you, I'm not mad.
Libby's right, Jackson. You're burned up and you know it.
I'm not burned up.
Jack, there's no reason for you to get so upset.
Upset? What makes you think I'm upset?
You look like a football coach whose team has to play Notre Dame.
All right, you kids can have your little joke. And one couldn't be a star of my magnitude without being able to take a few jibes from his underlings. But, as I said before, I'm not mad. All I want to do...
Benny.
What do you want now?
Are you sure the one on the left is the mother?
Yes, Dennis, the one on the left is the mother.
The one on the right is prettier.
All right, so the father is prettier than the mother.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Sure it does, kid. Take me an hour.
Phil, be quiet.
Okay, Jackson, okay. I'd like to get this meeting over anyway. What kind of mistakes did we make last week?
Well, for one thing, Phil, you don't even know how to speak the English language. If a word has over two syllables, you don't even know what it means.
I may not know what it means, Jackson, but when I speak, I have perfect diction.
Phil, as long as you brought that up, I've got news for you. I've heard better diction coming out of the exhaust pipe of a Greyhound bus. Believe me, Phil, the only thing that sounds worse than Harris the speaker is Harris the musician.
Hold it, Jackson. Hold it. It may interest you to know that I just got an offer to make a guest appearance with Arturo Toscanini.
You? You got an offer from Toscanini?
Yes, he wants me to be first whip snapper when he plays Mule Train.
Well, that you can do, I know.
Jack, if you're just going to ball out Phil, why did you call the rest of us?
Because you all made mistakes last
week. Wait a minute, Jackson. I didn't make no mistake.
Oh, you didn't, eh? Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Open the phonograph and play that record of last week's program.
Okay.
Now put the needle where I told you to...
Coochie-coo, baby. Coochie-coochie-coo.
Dennis, get your hand out of that fishbowl. Anyway, you're tickling the father. Now, go ahead, Rochester. Start the record where I've got that little chalk mark. You say you didn't make any mistakes, eh, Phil? Just listen. This is the part where we were talking about your picture, Wabash Avenue. Now, listen.
Well, it ain't exactly retakes. You see, there's a scene in the picture of me singing That's What I Like About the South.
Uh-huh.
And because of the foreign market, I've been down to the studio dubbing in the lyrics in French, German, Spanish, Greek, Portuguese, and Italian.
Portuguese?
That's all, Rochester. Did you hear that, Phil? Did you hear that? Portuguese.
I thought it sounded cute. Play it again, Rock.
Never mind.
Jack, I don't think it's fair of you to ball Phil out.
I've been waiting for you to speak up. Rochester, put that other record on. The one Mark Mary.
Jack, what? You're trying to tell me that I make a mistake now and then. You needn't bother because I know it.
Mary, I don't mind the little fluffs you've made, like the time you ordered a chisui sandwich. You make little mistakes like that every now and then. But, Mary, what do you think was your biggest mistake?
Leaving the May Company.
Well, I won't argue that point. If you want to eat and get fat, that's your... I have a record here.
Well, Mr. Benny, are you sure the one on the left is the mother?
I'm sure. And, Dennis, stop interrupting. I want to get this meeting over with because I have to go to see Ronald Coleman on some very important business. Now, look, Mary, you say you didn't make any mistakes last week. Look, I want you to hear a recording of a program we did a few weeks ago. Rochester, put it on where I've got that little chalk mark.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen,
Mary, all the networks are nice. And it's about time people realize that there's no animosity between them.
There isn't?
Of course not. Now, take CBS. They even put Johnson's wax on the floor.
Jack, CBS didn't put it there. So many stars come over, they cracked it in on their heads.
On their shoes. They must be acrobats.
That's enough, Rochester. That's enough. You hear that, Mary? The word was supposed to be shoes. Now, how in the world did you possibly arrive at the word head?
Jack, that happened 4 weeks ago. I didn't deny it. I said I was guilty. You sentenced me to 3 days at hard labor. I painted your house. Now, let's forget it.
You won't forget it until you finish the windowsill. I want them green.
Jack, is the meeting over?
No, Don, not yet. I want to show Mary a fluff that she made on last week's program. Rochester, play that first record again.
Yes, sir.
The place I'm looking for is somewhere around the middle. Go ahead, play.
Isn't it wonderful out here on the ocean?
Yes, Don. There's nothing I love better than a no-obligation cruise.
Oh, that's not it, Rochester. Move the needle further down.
Yes, okay.
Ocean's a little rough.
Well, it can't get too rough for me. You know, during the First World War, I used to be on the Navy.
A little further down.
Wait a minute. Play that last part again.
What's the matter?
Jack, you said you were on the Navy instead of in the Navy.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't, eh? Rochester, play that part again.
Okay.
Jack, you better sit down. The ocean's a little rough.
Well, it can't get too rough for me. You know, during the First World War, I used to be on the Navy.
Well, Dad, shall we dance?
Phil.
Jack, how could you make a mistake like that?
Yeah, the one on the right is the mother.
Dennis, be quiet.
On the Navy. You know, Jackson, your face is the color of my eyes.
Okay, Jack. What have you got to say now?
I got this to say. I did not make a mistake.
What?
I said I did not make a mistake.
But, Jack, we heard it distinctly. You said you were on the Navy.
I said it because it's correct. When I became a sailor during the First World War, they put me on board a ship called the USS Navy. Therefore, I was on the Navy, shut up, and meeting adjourned. Now, Phil, you and Mary can leave, but Don, I want you to stay. And you too, Dennis. I want to hear your song.
So long, Jackson.
Bye, Jack.
Tell me I made a mistake. All right, Dennis, what are you going to sing?
Well, this is an old song, Mr. Benny. It was written by Ben Oakland and Herb Magnuson, and Georgie Jessel wrote the lyrics.
Oh, Georgie Jessel. What's the name of the kid?
Roses in December.
Good. Let's hear it.
Shall I take the stars?
The most impossible things come true. Blue shadows never. Sunshine forever. Roses in December.
Dennis, that was beautiful. I don't know, it seems that lately your voice is getting better and better. He didn't even say goodbye. Say, Rochester, I got to run over and see Mr. Coleman now on some business. When I get back, have a little lunch for me. I'd like scrambled eggs.
Sorry, boss, we're all out of eggs.
Oh. Well, as long as I'm going next door to the Coleman's, I'll borrow a couple. I'll be right back. Their butler doesn't answer the door. I don't think he likes me. Well, hello, Benita.
Oh, hello, Jack.
Ah, gee, Benita, you look wonderful.
Thank you, Jack. Here are the eggs.
Benita, how did you know I wanted to borrow eggs?
Well, I saw you coming up the walk, and since it was butter yesterday and sugar the day before, it had to be eggs today.
Oh, yes.
So we've completed the cycle, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Now, is there anything else you might want? Bread, cream, flour, lettuce, turnips?
Well,
we're pushing turnips today.
No, just the eggs will do.
Well, now, maybe you could use some cookies. Cinnamon, jam, jelly beans. Oh, no. I gave you plenty of jelly beans.
You gave me jelly beans? You gave me jelly... When?
2 weeks ago, that night when you rang my bell and said trick or treat.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, Minnie, I took such pains disguising myself as Little Bo Peep. How'd you recognize me?
Because Little Bo Peep had lost her hair.
Yes, I didn't know where to find it. Well, thanks for the egg.
It's quite all right, Jack. Goodbye.
Oh, just a minute, Benita. The main reason I came over was to see Ronnie. They have some very important business to discuss with him.
Oh, I'm sorry, but Ronnie's at the studio. He's doing the final scenes on his picture, Champagne to Caesar.
Oh.
And if you'll excuse me, I was just getting ready to drive out there to see him.
Well, that's swell. I'll go out with you, Benita.
Jack, I have to make several stops on the way.
I don't mind waiting.
Well, for goodness sake. Thanks. We won't be able to go after all. I've just remembered my car has a flat tire.
Oh, well, don't worry. We'll drive out in my car.
Your car?
Sure. I'll go and get it.
You win, Jack. We'll drive out in mine.
Good. Let's go.
Here we are, Jack. Stage 5. Now, you've got to be very quiet in there because...
I know, Benita. I know. I've made a lot of pictures myself.
Oh, yes, I forgot.
Thank you. Come on, let's go in.
The director says it'll be a few minutes before the next scene. They have to change the lights, Mr. Coleman.
Well, thank you. Call me when he's ready, will you?
Gee, they've got a lot of extras on the set today, haven't they, Benita?
Yes. Oh, there he is. Hello, Ronnie.
Oh, hello, darling. Only three more scenes and I...
Hello, Ronnie. Ronnie, how are you?
Oh. Why, Jack, what are you doing here?
He came out with me. He wants to see you on business, darling.
Yes, yes. Gee, it's good to see you again, Ronnie. Shake.
I forgot to take the egg out of my hand. I'm sorry.
Ronnie, it isn't my fault. Stop wiping it off on my dress.
Jack. Normally, I am not a curious man, and I don't pry into other people's affairs. But how in the name of heaven did you happen to have an egg in your hand?
Well, Benita loaned me a couple of them. Yes?
Oh, I'm glad you didn't borrow any Vigoro.
Yes, yes. Now, Ronnie, I have some business I want to see you about.
Now, Jack, please, I don't know what it is, but you'll have to wait. This is our last day of shooting. We're behind schedule, and we still have to do the most important scene in the picture.
But, Ronnie, this business will only...
Everybody on stage!
All right, Ronnie. We're all ready to shoot the scene.
I'm ready.
Oh, hello, Dick.
Benita, it's good to see you.
By the way, this is Jack Benny. Jack, this is Ronnie's director, Richard Wolf.
Well, it's nice meeting you, Mr. Worf.
It's a pleasure meeting you, too, Mr. Benny.
Just nod to him, Dick. Don't shake hands. Don't shake hands. I'll explain it to you later.
All right. Now, Ronnie, this is the one we rehearsed this morning. Remember, the main feeling is that you're expressing contempt, not hatred. Merely contempt for your business associates.
Very good. And, Dick, don't you think it'd be better if instead of sitting, I stood behind the desk?
Yeah, let's try it that way. Quiet, everybody.
Quiet on the set.
Action.
Gentlemen, at last I find courage to speak. I can't let this go on without a word of warning. You men are the forerunners of intellectual destruction in America. And I, for one, refuse to see the educational system of this country ruined by silly, simpering...
Whoops! Drop my other egg. I'm so sorry.
Oh, goodness sake. Cut! Mr. Benny, would you please...
No, let me handle this. Jack, how many eggs did you borrow?
Two.
Good. He's out of them, Dick. We can go ahead.
Yes, yes. Go right ahead.
Okay. Quiet on the set. Roll them. Take it, Ronnie.
Gentlemen, at last I find courage to speak. I can't let this go on without a word of warning. You men are the forerunners.
Cut!
Robin.
Sorry, Ronnie, it isn't your fault, but I noticed too many shadows in the background.
Hey, Joe, turn up the arcs on the right platform.
That's better. Now, Ronnie, go through the speech once more with the new lighting. This will be just a rehearsal.
Okay. Gentlemen, I have finally found courage to speak. I can't let this go on without a word of warning. You men are the forerunners of intellectual destruction in America.
Cut!
That was perfect. Now, this one we'll take. Ronnie, try to get a shade more contempt into your voice.
All right, Dick, I'm ready.
All right, good. Everybody quiet.
Quiet, everybody. This is a take.
All right, Ronnie. Camera, action.
Gentlemen, at last I find courage to speak. I can't let this go on without a word of warning. You men are the forerunners of intellectual destruction in America. And I, for one,
cut! I thought you had a little too much contempt in your voice. You see, I think that you should have done...
You think?
Mr. Benny, I happen to be the director of this picture.
I know, but I'm trying to give you the benefit of my experience, what was your name again?
Worf, Richard Worf.
Say, that sounds familiar. Worf. I've heard that name before.
Very likely. I have a brother in San Francisco named Fisherman.
Dick, how could you?
I wanted to beat him to it. I've heard you on the radio. You pick on anything.
Look, Mr. Worf, I'm only trying to help you.
I don't need your help.
Mr. Worf, for your information, making moving pictures is not a cut-and-dried business. There's no sure way to produce a good picture. The only way we can learn is by mistake.
You better listen to him, Dick. He's made some beauts.
Thank you.
Now, look, Benny, if you're going to stay here, you'll have to keep quiet.
Now, hold it just a second, Dick. I'd like to talk to my wife privately. Benita, will you come with me for a moment?
Yes, Ronnie?
Benita, why in the world did you bring Benny out here?
But, darling, I couldn't help it.
Couldn't help it. Look, we've been married a good many years, haven't we?
Yes, dear.
And in all those years, we've never had any serious arguments, have we?
No, dear.
Well, Benita, I'm warning you. If a thing like this happens again, I'm going to pack my Oscar and move back to the YMCA. Now, do you hear?
Ronnie, stop waving your finger in my face. You're getting egg on my nose.
That's your fault, too.
Ronnie, I hate to interrupt, but we're way behind on schedule. Let's finish this scene.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dick. I'm ready.
Okay, quiet, everybody. This is a take.
Quiet on the set.
Lights, camera,
gentlemen. At last, I find courage to speak. I can't let this go on without a word of warning.
Jack!
You men are the forerunners of intellectual destruction in America.
Jack!
And I, for one, refuse to see the educational system of this country a ruin.
Benny, will you shut up and get out from behind that desk?
I was only trying to show Ronnie how that speech should
we
be...
We don't need your help. For heaven's sake, Ronnie, can't you get rid of this...
Schlemiel?
Thank you.
Look, Jack, I don't mind too much. I'm used to you. But you're new to Mr. Worf. Please leave the set.
But Ronnie, I can't leave now. I came out here to see you on business that's important to you.
All right, Jack, all right. You've delayed the picture for an hour. You've ruined three takes. You've upset my director and caused me to argue with my wife. Now, what is this important business you want to talk to me about?
Ronnie, do you realize that here it is, the middle of November, and you haven't ordered your Christmas card yet? Now, Ronnie, I have some cards with beautiful winter scenes and... Oh!
Oh, my goodness, what happened?
An arc light fell down and hit him on the head.
Is he badly hurt?
I don't know, but we better work fast. Lights, camera, action!
At last, I find courage to speak. I can't let this go down without a word of warning. You men are the forerunners.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman and Richard Worf for being with us tonight. A little later this evening, I'm going to be on Red Skelton's program. And be sure to listen in next week when we will have, as our guest, Sammy the Drummer. Good night.
Be sure to hear Dennis Day and A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned to the famous Sammy Show, which follows immediately.
The Jack Benny Show, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 13, 1949 on CBS. And though Jack was visiting the Colemans on the set of Ronald Coleman's next picture, it would actually be Champagne for Caesar, which came out the following year, and co-starred Celeste Holm, Art Linkletter, and Vincent Price. You're listening to An Hour of Comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. And now an exciting broadcast of the Bob Hope Show next from Christmas Eve 1946 with special guests Doris Day, Desi Arnaz in the orchestra, and Bing Crosby from NBC.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Tonight from the Veterans Administration Hospital at Sawtelle, California, Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope and his special guest, Bing Crosby.
Thank you.
you very much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob broadcasting from the Sawtell Veterans Hospital on Christmas Eve Hope, telling all you guys that using Pepsodent will never hurt your purse, and when you whisper sweet nothings in the ear of your nurse, you'll never have to worry if your teeth are in right or in reverse. Yes, sir. Here we are at the Veterans Administration Hospital at Sawtell. That's a medical term, meaning jab the needle in my left arm this time, nursey. I've already rented my right one out for a piccolo. I had a little trouble getting Crosby into the hospital. Dr. Hubbard took one look at him and said it was too late. They really have a lot of ground here at Sawtell. This morning, a doctor was making a tour of inspection and discovered three Spanish-American war veterans still firing. And they have three kinds of passes here, 24-hour, 36-hour, and I'm in the tunnel. Try and get me. And I found out why they call this Sawtell. I went through that Wilshire tunnel, and the things I saw, I'd never tell. Most of these patients here are ambulatory. Ambulatory, that's a nurse's expression, meaning for heaven's sakes, doctor, trip him the next time we come around the building. One of these nurses was missing yesterday, and they couldn't figure out what had happened to her until they saw one of the patients chasing his duffel bag down the hall. But I'm thrilled that I'm here. I had Christmas Eve dinner with these veterans, and before we started to eat, I made a very appealing talk. But I still had to pay. What a dinner. It's a memory I'll never forget. I've got the scars to remind me. These veterans really went after that food. It's the first time I ever saw a diving board in a gravy bowl. They ate 10 pounds of cranberries before somebody told them they were supposed to take them out of the cans first. One poor guy was on a liquid diet. He dampened the turkey before he swallowed it whole. And after they'd finished everything inside, I said, "Shall I call the waiter?" They said, "No, call the cook. He's got more meat on him." But it's a wonderful Yuletide, and I gave away a lot of fine, expensive presents this year. It's been a wonderful Christmas. I've been a regular Santa Claus.
It takes more than a pouch to make a Santa, Hope.
Oh, you're still up there in my head, eh, Conscience? What's wrong with you now?
Well, you didn't give me a present.
Why should I? All you ever gave me was dandruff.
What about the time I saved your life when you were a baby?
I don't remember your saving my life.
Who do you think stopped your father from drowning you?
But I guess I do owe you something, Conch. After all, you've stuck with me through thick and thin.
Only through thick, Hope. Remember, I'm in your head.
Anyway, why should I give you anything for Christmas? What'd you ever do for me?
What'd I ever do for you? Why, Robbie boy, I've done a lot for you. Remember when you were a little boy, you were crossing the railroad tracks, you didn't see a train coming? Suddenly, a little voice warned you just in time. I saved your life.
That's right, I remember, Conch. Why, you saved my life. If it weren't for you, there would be no Bob Hope.
Yeah, can you blame me for staying up here and never showing my face?
Here is the beautiful Columbia Recording singing star to sing a very appropriate song. A Christmas song. Miss Doris Day.
Turkey and some mistletoe. will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna fight to see if reindeers really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple thing to kids. From one to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Miss Doris Day. Very nice. And now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have with us a veteran who has a few words to say to you on this Christmas Eve. A veteran who is one of our great leaders with a soft spot in his heart for all of you. He is a man who has fought with you in war and is fighting for you in peace. The boss man of the entire Veterans Administration, General Omar Bradley.
Hello, Bob. Thank you for this opportunity to say Merry Christmas to all veterans everywhere, but especially to those who are in VA hospitals tonight. I'm sorry that so many of you must spend this Christmas under medical care. We're doing everything possible to make your Christmas as happy as it can be, away from home, in a hospital bed. I hope that by next year, we will have many of you back on your feet so that you can celebrate Christmas at home with your families. And now, speaking for the thousands of you in our hospitals, I want to thank Bob Hope and all his associates of radio, motion pictures, and stage for remembering that the war is not over for thousands of veterans. Wherever there are sick and wounded veterans tonight, I know they would want me to tell you, Bob, how much it means to be remembered, how nice it is to be included in your Christmas parties and shows. We know that you will be with us again throughout the coming year.
Thank you very much, General Omar Bradley. We all consider it a privilege to entertain these veterans, and ladies and gentlemen, it's very interesting to visit hospitals such as this one here at Sawtell. You never know whom you're going to meet.
Hello, Mr. Hart!
Well, Miss Vera Vang.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, Miss Vera Vang, Santy's auntie.
Oh, well, well, Mr. Hope, dunder's blunder.
Well, now, Miss Vang, here it is the time of the year you're supposed to show goodwill toward all men.
Goodness, is there a season for us?
Yes, there is, Miss Vaig, and this is it, Christmas. Today we must love our fellow man.
Oh, you silly boy. Why do you think I've been visiting the wards?
Well, tell me, did you make any headway with the boys, Miss Vaig?
Well, I was doing fine until the nurse made me take off the red robe. Mr. Hope, a pretty girl just isn't safe going through these wars.
Is that so? And how did you find it?
Oh! Oh, you dear bunion brain.
Yes.
Why don't you run down to X-ray and find out why your head rattles? Yeah. No, really, Mr. Hope, visiting a ward was just wonderful, and every one of the boys gave me the sweetest smile.
Well, naturally, they have to be quiet in the hospital. They're not permitted to laugh out loud.
Oh, bless your heart. Don't you know people in glass heads shouldn't throw stones? You don't realize that I studied nursing for years. I'm a trained nurse.
Who trained you, Frank Buck?
Go on, make fun of me. I don't care. I have a blind date with a cute boy in the tunnel at 8. I have to be there at 7.
At 7? Why an hour early? Anxious?
No, but I want plenty of time to short circuit the light.
Yes. Thank you, Miss Vera Vang. And now, folks, I have a big surprise for you. I'm playing Santa tonight for the boys here. And so as to not disappoint them, here's the bag now. Bing Crosby, right here.
Well, 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 good old trout snout. How goes it, my Pepsodent Pinocchio?
Tell me, Lard.
Is it a lime cola on you or something?
Tell me, Lard, does my broadcast have anything to do with your being here? Or did you just come in for your regular shot?
Just a moment. This is Christmas, the season of good cheer and good fellowship. Why don't we forego for tonight this girlish vilification and be chums?
Oh, no!
Be pals.
Oh, break it up for us peasants, will you please?
What, vilification a little?
Very nice, very nice. Wait till Gonzaga finds out about this.
Well, let's be chums, though, tonight. I'm beat that.
I think you're right, Bing. I'm sorry. We should. It's, after all, we should have the Yuletide spirit. I want to tell you it's an honor to have you on my show.
Thank you, Bob.
You, the great Bing Crosby, the country's most magnificent voice on my poor, crummy little program.
Really. It's nothing, old man. My partner. It's a thrill for me to work with America's foremost comedian, America's finest actor.
What's wrong with Canada?
Well, the world's finest comedian, the world's finest actor. You are indeed good to have me here.
But no, this philanthropic gesture out of your bountiful goodness to pay tribute to me, a lowly punster, is merely a small symbol of your munificence.
I think we got more laughs with the insult.
Anyway, now it can be told, Bing, you're my favorite singer. Take Como, Sinatra, Russell, Haynes.
I'm better, huh?
No comparison. None of them are anywhere near as good as you were at their age.
Now you wait a minute, blubberhead. It's Christmas.
Well,
I know you don't mean what you said. Deep down inside, you're a regular guy.
Thanks.
It's the outside that's irregular.
Now listen, Elephant Boy, I want to tell you one thing.
Christmas, remember?
Yeah, I know. I saw you and your kids out singing carols on Vine Street last night.
So what's wrong with singing carols?
Well, you should sing them right through, not stop after each chorus and put in a commercial about Philco's. And who was that other little boy?
Other little boy?
Yeah, the one who kept following your boys around while they were singing.
Oh, him. Oh, that's Petrillo's son collecting dues. Run off. Now that I'm here, this is as good a time as any for my present. You have something for me, haven't you? Some little gift or something?
Well, I had something real nice for you, Bing, but Mother thought she'd wear them a little longer.
I'll only take that because there's a big favor I want to ask you. How would you like to play Santa Claus over at my house tonight, Robin?
Why, what's the matter? Can't you fit down the chimney anymore?
No. Just that this year we're keeping the fire going, and my kids just love baked ham.
Well, they ought to. They've been living with one for years, you know. But believe me, ears, I'll make a fine Santa Claus.
Ears.
I really will. I'll be a fine Santa Claus. I'll just tuck a pillow in the front.
Good. From the rear, you're already in character. You need it.
Wait a minute.
What?
That's not all me. Where do you hide your Christmas presents?
Hello, Bob.
Oh, Desi, this is Bing Crosby. You've heard of him.
Oh, sure. He's the American Tito Guitar. Yeah.
Hello, Tito. Habla español?
Habla español, sí.
Sí, my amigo, el señor Hope. Es muy simpático, ¿no?
Sí, simpático, pero chico, no, el dinero.
No
muy,
dinero.
No dinero. No,
wait a minute,
no,
wait a minute.
Malo.
Wait, something tells me I'm not getting the best of this. Play, Desi, play. Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now hear from the voice of Firestone. Retreaded, Mr. Crowley.
Buttermilk sky, I'm keeping my eyes on you. What's the good word tonight? Are you going to be mellow tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love. I'm gonna pop her that question,
Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, oh, so easy, if I can only bank on you. Oh, buttermilk sky, I'm telling you why. Now you know, keep it in mind tonight. Keep a brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, buttermilk sky, don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above a hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love. You can if you try. Don't tell me no lies. Will you be melting bright tonight? Buttermilk sky.
That's Mr. Bing Crosby and the Meltones, ladies and gentlemen. Stand by, Bing. Now, Wendell Niles.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you a stirring Christmas story entitled The Road to the North Pole or Santa Claus Rides Again. We now take you to the faraway hideout of St. Nick. As we look in on this prefabricated igloo, jolly old Santa is making ready for his yearly trip.
Ho, 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 ho. Well, you're mighty jolly this Christmas, Paul.
Jolly nothing. My red flannels tickle. Ho, ho!
Ho, ho, ho! Going off on those trips and leaving me alone up here. Goodness, sometimes I'm sorry I saw you working in that bargain basement and married you.
Well, what makes you say that, Ma?
Well, of all the things in the May Company, I had to get the one you can't bring back and get your money back on.
Well, stop complaining, Ma. How many women can go to bed and sleep nice and warm all night under their husband's beard? Ho, ho, ho! I wonder who that can be.
Are you Santa Claus?
What do you know, Ma? It's Topsy.
Shelter. Shelter at last. Oh, I can't go on. I can't go on any further. Please. Please let me in. Please let me in.
Come on. You got one, Oscar. Don't overdo it. What can I do for you, stranger?
Well, tonight, Santa, I want you to stop to the Veterans Hospital at Sawtell and bring something special for the boys.
Uh-huh.
Something they've been waiting for all year.
Oh, their pension checks, huh? Well, they'll get them. That Crosby fella's bringing them on a horse. I don't know, son. Tell me, have they been good boys at Sawtell?
Don't be too hard on them, Santa. They can't help it.
What do you mean?
Well, you should see those nurses.
Pretty nurses, huh?
Yeah.
Hang on, here we go!
Woo-hoo.
Up Dancer, up Prancer, up Dunder and Blitzen, up Fortescue.
Fortescue, what's he doing in there?
He's the CIO organizer. Get up! Isn't it wonderful up here? Look down at that earth below us there, son. This is a night of brotherly love, everybody's friends. See that house all lighted up? That's George Raft's place. He's giving a big party for attorneys tonight. Aren't they merry?
And just look down there through that window over there. John L. Lewis is in the basement of the White House. He's shoveling coal in the furnace.
You see that there?
What's that there?
That's the peace conference. That guy is Molotov walking back in. And a little further on, I'll even show you an audience applauding blue skies right down there.
Taking off. You mean to tell me everyone is friendly tonight? What about Harry Cohn and Charlie Veeder?
Oh, everything is fine with them now. They're not talking.
Oh.
All right. Pull over. Pull over there. Pull over to the side of the cloud.
Pull over there.
But, officer.
Pull over. You just passed the red star. Let's see your driver's license.
Why, I'm old St. Nick. Ha, 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 ha. Yes, sir, good old St. Nick. Ha, 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 ha.
And drunk, too.
Yeah. I'm not drunk, officer. Now, just what's the charge?
Speeding and driving drunken horses.
Just a minute. Those aren't drunken horses.
Oh, no? Then what are they doing going around stealing hat racks? All right, don't give me that double talk. I'm on duty up here.
You're on duty, but we're 10,000 feet above the ground. What duty?
Rose Bowl traffic, top layer.
Why, this is ridiculous. How does your motorcycle stay up in the air?
Firestone balloon tires.
And how do you stay up here?
O'Sullivan balloon heels. Sorry, boys, I'll have to arrest you.
But, officer, I'm trying to tell you, I'm Santa Claus.
Santa Claus? Ah, yes, I know your sister well.
My sister?
Yes, Santa Monica.
Officer! Oh, Santa Monica. Officer, you surprised me.
No, you surprised me. I got the hiccups.
Yeah. How'd you get the hiccups?
Just had a Tom and Jerry. That was Tom.
Listen, officer.
Who's that?
That was Jerry.
Listen, officer. What was that?
Relatives. Well, I'll have to give you two boys a ticket.
Looks like we're in a jam, Santa.
Yeah, and I know this officer can't be bribed.
Who says so?
Well, we can't waste any more time with you, officer. I got to go all over the world tonight. Get up!
Stop! Stop, or I'll shoot!
You'll never stop us with that cologne. It's only a water pistol.
Yeah, sometimes I wish I wasn't a California cop.
Oh, there's the Sawtell Hospital over there. Head in for a landing.
Are you sure it's the Sawtell Hospital?
Yeah, the buildings spell out no gambling.
We're going down.
Okay, Santa. We're heading right down the chimney. Well, they were going to remodel this wing anyway.
Here's the bottom of the chimney. I'll walk out through the fireplace. Hi, everybody. Here I am.
Let me welcome you to Sawtell Hospital, Santa Claus. I'm Dr. Hubbard.
Dr. Hubbard, huh?
Yes, I'm the head of the hospital. Here, shake hands.
Well, hiya, Dr. Hubbard. Put it there. Ouch! Ouch, my arm!
Well, what's the matter?
What a sneaky way to give a man a hypodermic.
Sincerely, old man, your silent night has always put an arm around my heart and given it a big hug.
Well, Bob, I only wish that I could have come to Sawtell Hospital tonight and sung Silent Night in an empty theater. That would have meant that these 6,000 wounded veterans had gone home for Christmas.
And cut us out of a studio audience? Oh, they wouldn't dare play a trick like that. Seriously, Bing, it's Christmas Eve. What a night. Miles of homes lit up like an endless store window.
Living room is chock full of pine needles and presents.
doorbells ringing and folks barging in with greetings.
Telephones ringing and loved ones calling from across the miles.
Radios turned down soft for the Christmas carols.
Mother humming away in the kitchen while she stuffs the turkey. It's not exactly the perfect night for a veteran to spend in a hospital.
What night is? Bing, if you could ask Santa for anything, what would it be?
If the fellas here at Sawtell and in all of Uncle Sam's hospitals could have their health back. How about you, Robert?
Well, when old Santa visits the mothers and wives and children of the fellows who didn't come back, I'd like to ask him to fill every stocking so full of Christmas cheer that there's enough left over to fill the empty place in every heart. Good night. Merry Christmas, folks. Merry Christmas, sir.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Bob Hope on Tuned to Yesterday from December 24th, 1946 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.